Praise the Lord. So how about we flip to the third section for this morning under fruit bearing, and we can read the title of this morning session for the week. All together? Living a fruit-bearing life. All right, and then under message one, let's read the title for this message. Fruit-bearing, the preaching of the gospel on the highest plane. Praise the Lord. So I know when you hear the gospel, we have a lot of mixed feelings about this. Some of us are like, oh Lord, you know, and some of us are, amen, let's do this. But I was really touched kind of going over this message, how this was approached. Just when we saw this title, it says fruit bearing, the preaching of the gospel on the highest plane. So we're talking about the gospel on the highest plane. Amen. There's many ways to preach the gospel, and we have, probably have many experiences of that. But today we want to go through it as it's seen in John. Yeah. So John is the last book of the gospels. Yeah. And I was looking and trying to see if I can see the word preach in that book. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find it in John. Wow. And I think it's in our excerpts in this message, but in the book of John, there wasn't a teaching to preach the gospel, nor was there like a matter of going out, but we see this matter of fruit bearing, yeah. Right? Abiding in the vine. Yeah. And I just came to this realization that, wow, the gospel is just like fruit bearing, amen. Right? And what we're seeing here, and what I hope we're all impressed with, is that this shouldn't be something stressful. Yeah. Right, it's a fruit-bearing life, just as a tree. We'll get to see. It's not toiling. You don't see trees sweating, right, or hiding. They just bear fruit. So anyway, we want to see that and be impressed with this fact that, yeah, just as that, our spiritual life should be the same. Our bearing fruit should be the same. Amen. So I hope we can all be encouraged, especially when we go on the gospel later this week, right? Yeah. So how about we read Roman numeral 1 together?
Our preaching of the gospel must be on the highest level, which is to minister life, even Christ to the people.
Amen. So how about we read that again, and let's emphasize minister life, even Christ, and then to people.
Amen.
All right?
Our preaching of the gospel
must be on the highest level, which is to minister life, even Christ, to people. Wow. So what do we do when we go out to in the gospel? Their life, right? That's even Christ.
Amen.
To the people, right? Yes, we need to preach and minister to people. We can practice on our animals and to the wall, but we need to be able to speak to people. So I just appreciate it here that last night we heard, we don't live a Sunday to Sunday life, right? To be able to minister life, it has to be something from within.
Yeah.
And we were given three words yesterday that described the sessions this morning, right? And the word for this session was practice.
Yeah.
So I'm not here saying that I know the secrets of preaching the gospel, so I'm telling you guys. But it's a matter of practice, yeah, and we're all practicing, right? So I just appreciate this, that none of us are here saying that we've done it and it's easy for us, but we're here to endeavor and to pursue, to encourage each other in this matter of bearing fruit, right?
Amen.
So one of the things that we must realize is that everything that we've talked about so far is important to our bearing fruit.
Right.
Our time with the Lord, right? Very crucial. Even being able to call on the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, how many of us have gone into the gospel and not called on the Lord? That's that's a problem, right? But I know, I think that's an automatic response from within us. Whether it's positive or negative, we just call on the Lord.
Yeah.
And we realize our morning time with the Lord, our calling on the Lord, is a supply, right?
Yeah.
It's a flow of life.
Amen.
And in order to minister life to someone in the matter of fruit bearing, we need to be those that are living a life that is supplied by this life, right? This is why we have morning revival. We touch the Lord in the morning, so we're filled.
Right.
We call on the Lord. We exercise our spirit so we can be filled.
Amen.
And quick experience. I mean, I was in Germany a couple months ago, and these people are hungry, especially the refugees. And you come in there with nothing, and it's like feeling that you have, It's like being disarmed, right? They're ready to get fed. And if I didn't have a time with the Lord in the morning, I didn't call on the Lord, exercise my spirit, I would have nothing to give them, right? So just in this way, you know, we need to live a life that's always being supplied, being full, so that we can flow out.
Amen.
So let's read 8 together. That in the church life, we do not do anything in the way of organization. The church is an organism, and what an organism needs is life. Therefore, our church service is mainly for ministering life to others. And in John 15:6, you know, this is a really good verse to show us that we were chosen by the Lord, right?
Yeah.
We didn't choose Him, but He chose us.
Amen.
And so in this fact, He tells us we have to bear fruit.
Yeah.
And this fruit is a matter of life. And just like we were saying, not only is our personal life a matter of supply, but our church life is a matter of supply.
Amen.
So some of us here are involved in services, and some of you back at home might be doing some things, right? Either for the club or for your locality.
Yeah.
And when you do these things, you can't do it just to do it, right? I was really impressed in our reading. It said here that, you know, if all we did was get together and, for example, like some of us could get together and clean, right? Some of us may do some practical work. But if that's all we did, we didn't call on the Lord, we didn't pray with each other, that's just a social service, right? And all these matters, you know, why do we get together and pray before we do something, right? Or why is it that, you know, we get together and read something a little bit before we do some service?
Yeah.
It's so that we can be supplied by one another.
Amen.
And I was so impressed, even this matter, that, you know, when in our conversations with each other, it's a flow of life, right? There's something called the fellowship of life. And the way this works is that it's just really interesting. It's a fellowship. So when you speak, you can speak life to someone.
Yeah.
And then they, in return, speak life back to you.
Amen.
So it's just, it's a wonderful practice. And I've been to some, I've gone and interacted with some of these brothers and sisters. I'm there ready to work. But then right, the first thing they greet me was, "Praise the Lord, brother."
Amen.
You know? Or sometimes they don't even have that. And they just start praying. And they just, you're just like, oh. Amen. Amen, Lord. Yeah, I should pray. So it's really important and really crucial that we get this, that we're not here for an organization, right? The Lord's not here for an organization. We are here for an organism, right?
Amen.
Something of life.
Amen.
So in this matter, we should be deeply impressed that we need life.
Amen.
And what I'm doing in going out and contacting people is to minister life.
Amen.
So let's read point B. How about the sisters read point B?
Bearing fruit is not merely a matter of preaching or teaching. It is a matter of imparting life to others.
Wow. So, yeah. So that's really interesting. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
So tomorrow and on Thursday, maybe even in between that, you might see some people. Well, your job is not to preach, right? Or is it? Is your job a matter of teaching?
Yeah.
It's just to flow out.
Amen.
For sure, by the end of today, we will enjoy at least one thing, right? Can you flow that out to someone?
Yeah.
Right? And I just really appreciate it. This is what we're doing on the gospel. We're not there to spit out the 4, 5, 6 keys of the mystery of human life. We're not there to show them our vast knowledge of the Bible. We're just there to minister life.
Amen.
So I hope after our sharing, Mike and I, we're not here just to give a long message. Actually, this time is meant for you guys to share your testimonies concerning your time in the gospel. And I'm sure there's many out there that you probably didn't say anything, but the way that you probably just smiled, right? And someone maybe just have passed you and might have wondered, something's different about that person. Or you picked up something, like yesterday we said, right? Something fell, you picked up something. People see that.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not typical. So I hope as we kind of speak here, this will be something that can stir up and we can share about this. That sometimes it's just, would you like to go to a Bible study? Nothing spiritual, nothing really high about that, but that can impart life to someone, right? How many people have been gained by just being asked, would you like to go to a Bible study? Or would you like to go to a home meeting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you invite them there, and all of a sudden, wow, they're in the church life, you know? So even in this, all these different things that we might think is not preaching the gospel, it's not a gospel tract that I'm giving out, but you're ministering Christ to someone.
Yeah.
So I just hope that if we look at it in this view, wow, we can all be encouraged.
Amen.
Because we can all speak something to someone, right?
Amen.
Speak something of Christ that we enjoyed.
Amen.
So anyway, so that was really impressive. I was really impressed with. We can all do this.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of sweating or toiling. You don't have to think too much to share something that you enjoyed, right? So amen. So let's go to point C. How about for the first part, the brothers, and then we can alternate.
The
brothers, sisters.
Abide in the vine, and as they abide, they bear fruit. This fruit comes from the overflow of the inner life.
Amen. Sisters? Amen. And all together.
If we abide properly in the vine, then the life of the vine will fill us up.
Amen.
The life that has filled us up will overflow into others. This is fruit bearing, and this is the genuine and proper preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. So Mike will get into this more, but we can see this, that what is a life ministering Christ look like, right? And in the John, this is seen through the branches in the vine. You don't see branches working too hard. What do branches do in a vine? They just stay there, right? But they're not only just partaking of their own life, they're partaking of a particular life, right? The life of the vine.
Amen.
As long as you're connected to that life, you get the supply.
Amen.
What happens when you get supplied as a branch? You bear fruit.
Amen.
So sometimes we just overthink this matter of the gospel, and it's just like, no, it has to be harder. I have to know something else. I have to do something else. But you know what? If the enjoyment of Christ is in there, you're enjoying this life,
yeah.
All you have to do is, even when you go out, something within you is stirring up, and it's just like, why do I have this feeling to speak to this person? You're out in the grocery store. Why do I have this burden? It's this life.
Amen.
This life automatically has a heart for others, to care for them.
Amen.
So anyway, I just appreciate, we just have to stay and enjoy this life, this inner life. And the more we enjoy this life, the more we partake of this life has a way to express itself.
Amen.
So, but anyway, maybe Mike can... Oh, actually, before we go into Roman numeral 2, we have some, I guess we can say pop-ups. The first one would be Sawyer and Trevor.
Praise the Lord. So preaching the gospel, it's such an enjoyable time. And this past semester, we had time together. So we're roommates. So we would wake up early in the morning because we had some crazy schedules. So the only time that we would have to do it would be in the morning. So we would wake up early. You know, first and foremost, we would call on the name of the Lord. You know, if we didn't begin our gospel time like that, it just wouldn't have went well. We would have went out there and the time just would have been bad. So we called on the name of the Lord, and then we prayed over the outline. I enjoyed the point last night where you said we got to pray over the outline. But yeah, so we prayed over the outline that we were just going to practice speaking to somebody. And I used to think, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? I have to memorize every single point on this outline and say it exactly like it says without looking at the paper. And I you know, first time I tried to do that, it just didn't go any well. I was stuttering a lot. I didn't know what to say to the person, and then Sawyer took over. And I strongly encourage y'all, when you go out, you know, just enjoy Christ first and foremost. Enjoy reading the outline that you're practicing speaking, or whatever you're going to speak to someone, because you're imparting God's life into somebody else. And that is the best feeling that you can have, you know, once you leave. And you can see it on the people's face when you speak the gospel to them. They, you know, you could see a smile on their face, whether they might have already been smiling, or they, you know, they probably were having a bad day maybe. But when you like speak life to them, it changes the way that they're feeling at that very moment.
Amen.
Because you imparted life into them. I remember one time I was by myself in Barnes & Noble just killing some time, and somebody had came up to me and started preaching the gospel to me. and I wasn't having like the best day, but you know, they preached the gospel to me, and you know, I felt their life of Christ. Amen. Like they were imparting Christ into me. Amen. And that was a really sweet. And you know, he asked me afterwards. He said, "So how did I do? How do you think I have spoken? How do you think I did in the word?" And I told him, I said, "You don't worry about that. I said, you sharing your portion of Christ to me is filling me. You're filling my spirit. So don't worry about how you say it. Just worry about, or not even worry about it. Just enjoy Christ as you're preaching the gospel."
Amen. Praise the Lord for the overflow of life. We're roommates, and what we did this past semester was we would wake up in the mornings before his class, and we would read an outline, and then we would pray over it, and call on the Lord, and then we would go to our campus, and we would preach the gospel. And we did this throughout the semester once or twice a week, and we had fruit. Sometimes we didn't have fruit. Sometimes we got turned away, and sometimes we met believers. So we had everyone, but it was a very sweet time, and so good just to be with a brother for encouragement and to keep pursuing the Lord. Amen. But I wanted to share a verse that I really enjoyed that a brother had shared with me. It really goes with this training and with our experience. This is Philippians 2:15, and then the first part of 16. "That you may be blameless and guileless children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world, holding forth the word of life."
Amen.
Hallelujah. So our burden was we just wanted to hold forth the word of life. Sometimes we might not realize how dark our campuses actually are. All it takes is looking at a poster or listening to a professor or students talk. But we have the opportunity to hold forth the word of life.
Amen.
And students are hungry.
Yeah.
I had an experience. I took a summer class this summer, and towards the end of our class, my professor said, "Does anyone have any questions?" And then there was a student that said, "What's the meaning of life?" And then the professor replied like this. He said, "I don't know." He said, "Tell me," basically. And I wanted to stand up so bad, but that wasn't the time. But now I have a burden that I'll speak to him before I graduate. But we need the overflow of life in order to do this. If I approach him and just have a conversation, it probably won't turn out good. But if I'm filled with the Lord and call on the Lord and then go talk to my professor, hallelujah. So praise the Lord for the overflow, and that we have the opportunity to be luminaries in this world.
Yeah, praise the Lord. When we take this way of preaching the gospel by the flow of life, wow, we get a lot of benefits. We want a sister to share before I continue. Abigail has a little testimony about how this life saved her, right? A lot of times, gospel preaching brings in the flow like we've never experienced.
Yeah, so I'm Abigail, and I'm from Odessa. And we have a young people's conference in Odessa that's every October, and the young people go out in groups on Saturday and preach the gospel. And so so a couple years, we've had this thought, oh, we should keep doing this. And then this last October, we actually kept doing it. And so we would go on Saturdays, and we would share with people. And there's a family in Odessa who lives in an apartment complex, so we would go to their apartment complex and share with people. And we actually did their apartment complex and another one, and we started another one. So before we would go out, we would pray together. And there was just this one experience that I had. I had enjoyed something from Romans, and there was just life there. And so I shared this with a young man, and I felt like just my sharing with him brought me joy. And I hope it brought him joy. And there was a lot of practicing, you know, in our sharing with people, but just that one experience, I realized that was life.
Amen.
That was life flowing out.
Amen.
And a lot of times when I would share with people, I'd like give them the track and kind of leave because I was scared, and I would cut off the conversation prematurely. But that time I obeyed the Lord and his telling me to share what I had enjoyed, and it was so easy.
Amen.
Because I had enjoyed that verse, and then I was able to share that with him and flow out my enjoyment.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to continue a little bit with the outline. We have a few more testimonies before we finish. As a question to help reinforce this point, what does it mean to preach the gospel? I hope maybe we could write that in our outline. And I hope you'd write this answer: to bring forth fruit. You know, when I began to preach the gospel, I was a tremendous failure because I did not have this view. Actually, I killed everyone I spoke to. I argued with every single person. It was horrible. And I had a gospel partner that just endured with me for 6 months. Until finally one day, I had a breakthrough. I realized I should just share with people what I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, hallelujah. Finally, I can have some enjoyment when I go out with you. And we had such an enjoyable time from that day forward. You know? Whatever we were enjoying, we would just speak that. It didn't even have to make sense. But people just had a warm reception because I was smiling. I was happy.
That's right.
You know? And they just couldn't help but just be happy with me a little bit, you know? So it's really wonderful when we see this matter of preaching the gospel is our bringing forth fruit, which is a matter of life. You know, there are three things in this picture in John 15. There's the vine, there's the branches, and there's the fruit. All three share two things, right? They share the same life, and they share the same nature, right? The branches have the same life as the vine, and the fruit have the same life as the branch, which has the same life as the vine, right? And all three have the same nature. So we're bringing forth ones as fruit in our gospel preaching. So Roman rule 2 says we need to bear fruit as branches of the vine. If we are saved, everyone saved?
Amen.
I have good news for you.
Amen.
You are a branch in the vine.
Amen.
So how about you turn to your neighbor and just say, I'm a branch in the vine. So as a branch, you're enjoying something. You're enjoying the life of the vine. The life of the vine is now flowing into you. Even right now, as you sit here, the life of the vine is flowing in you. Right? Why? Because it wants to flow out of you to produce fruit. As we abide, we bear fruit. So in B, we say, in B it says, we must realize that every branch in the vine must abide in the Lord to bear fruit. So I really appreciated these two verses in John 15, 4, 5, and... Sorry, not two verses, three verses. 4, 5, and 6. I think there's even some scripture songs to these verses. Just like to read them to you. It says, abide in me,
amen,
and I in you.
Amen.
What a promise. If we abide in him, he abides in us. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides,
amen,
in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, as I was reading this verse this morning, I really felt this verse should release us. A lot of us feel a lot of weight, a lot of pressure when we consider the gospel. Well, that's because you're considering it as, I can do this, or I have to do this. Well, the Bible says you can't do it. That's why the Bible made you a vine. Or no, the Bible makes us a branch in the vine. Sorry. Don't want to get that wrong. We're not the vine. We're the branch. All right. And spontaneously, as a branch abiding in the vine, we just bear fruit. Right? The weight is no longer on us. Right? We're just in the vine, enjoying the vine.
Yes.
Then 5, I am the vine. The Lord is the vine. You are the branches.
Yes.
You know, even when we abide in the Lord as the vine, we are very conscious that we need the branches. On the one hand, we're a branch, right? But we have the branches to lean on, to pray with, to enjoy the Lord with, to stand with each other, to go on the gospel with. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen.
For apart from me, you can do nothing. If one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't think any of us want to get to that point, right? We all want to maintain our life supply as living branches abiding in the vine. Okay, so how about we, brothers, you read 1, sisters, you read 2. So I'd like you to underline before sisters read, we may feel, and then we are not wrong. And then the very last two words, seriously wrong, right? We may feel some way, right? But actually, if our life is the life of not bearing fruit, we are seriously wrong. That's not to condemn us. That's to wake us up and to realize we're in the vine. We have the life of the vine. The life of the vine is for fruit bearing. Right? So what do? We just abide. We just be what we are. Not. We don't try to strive and be what we're not. Right? Okay, sisters, how about 2? I think we all want our enjoyment of the riches of Christ's life to increase, right? Well, the secret is bear fruit, right? And that starts with being desperate, right? So we have a testimony. Elizabeth, could you come up? Elizabeth, is she here? There she is. She has a testimony about being desperate.
So I was I had a summer job at the campus at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, and I was very desperate. There was one week, you know, I had an 8-hour shift every day, so I just felt like, you know what, Lord, I'm spending so many hours at work here on the campus, surrounded by a lot of students, and I was so desperate with the Lord. I said, Lord, if I'm here this many hours a week, you better give me fruit here, because I really wanted to, you know, spend my break times during my job, spend my break times with a student whom I could read with, pray with, you know, hang out with, and just enjoy times together. And I was in that week, I was listening to a message by Ron, a ministry message, and Brother Ron said, we need to be so filled with the enjoyment of the Lord that we ooze out Christ in every part of our being. So I just made that my prayer. Lord, give me a child here in this campus while I'm cleaning the rooms in the residence. That was my job that summer. So there was one day. Okay, now I know you're going to laugh. I know this is funny. But as I was cleaning a room, there was a package of toilet paper that was left in there, basically a full package of toilet paper rolls. And I thought, where am I going to put this? Because, you know, I'm just cleaning rooms. And then I saw a student moving into a room that we had already cleaned across the hallway. And I just said, hey, would you like these toilet paper rolls? And yeah, she said, yeah, I was about to go shopping for them today. Okay, so I just gave them all over to her. But right beginning from that very second on, there was a sense in me, hey, That wasn't just coincidental. There's something more to this. So I started praying, and I prayed with another sister who lived in another residence right next to the residence. I told her about this interaction with this one student. So we just started praying together. And then that very Friday, after my shift, because, you know, I was concerned, how do I contact her? Because I'm at work. I need to be careful because of all the rules at work there. So I was really desperate before the Lord, if I'm supposed to run into the student again before the home meeting yet, because I had a sense to invite her to the home meeting, then, Lord, you better open the door. And so on Friday, after 3 o'clock, after I had clocked out, I walk out of the residence, and here she comes walking on the sidewalk. So I just ask her, hey, do you remember me? Because we had said hi a couple of times already. And she remembered me. And I told her, hey, are you busy tonight? And she said, no. And I said, would you like to come to my house? We gather together every Friday night. We have dinner. We sing with guitars. We read the Bible. And she asked, oh, are you a Christian? And I said, yes. And I said, you will love it. Just come. And she said, okay, sure. Can I bring a friend? I said, sure. I said, okay, I'll meet you here in front of the residence at 6:30. I'll come and pick you up. So she was eager to get my number, and she gave me her name. And so I came for her. I picked her up. And during the meeting, I was very burdened for her. And I saw she was touched. So after the meeting, I asked her, would you like to pray to receive Jesus? She said, yes. And I'm going to introduce her to you. Her name is Diamond. She's right here with me in this college training.
Praise the Lord. You know, at one point, you know how branches and a vine interact with each other? They pray for what the other branch is burdened for. All right? We have some interaction with a person, that life in us rises up to have some concern. But we're not the only branch in the vine. We are a branch in the vine. So we go to another member and we pray with them. I don't know how to do this, but I'm burdened that this one would come to this Bible study, come to this small group, come to this time. Lord, would you pray with me, right? And then the life just flows in through our prayer with the other members, other branches. Okay, so in C, it says, as branches. I'd like you to circle branches. I really was impressed. There are branches in this vine, and we should be with the branches. We must bear fruit. We must have such a breakthrough. We need to go to the Lord to have a thorough dealing with Him. If anyone has not borne fruit for several years, there is the danger that such a one may be cut off from the life supply. This is just the word. We must endeavor and be desperate. We must say, how about we all pray this together? Lord, I am one of your branches. Why do I not bear fruit? I must bear some. I cannot go on like this anymore. Lord, have mercy on me, that by your mercy I may bear at least one fruit. Probably most of us have not borne fruit, or we are barren because we haven't prayed this. Because the Lord is very happy to answer this prayer. If we pray it, He will do it. Just pray in faith, right? Even pray with your companion in faith. Do it, Lord. I must bear one fruit. If we will bear even one fruit, the life supply will flood in, the life juice will stream in, and we will bear more fruit. Amen. How about that? To bear the first fruit is the breakthrough.
Amen.
Okay, so Brother Jared here had an experience of, is this your first fruit? Holy, he has a first fruit. He had a breakthrough. This year there's going to be more fruit.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. So, let's see, like about a month ago, I had a...
Yeah, just put it on.
Okay. Amen. So about a month ago, I work with a few other brothers that do contracting work, like masonry work. And so I had one friend that I've known for about like 5 years now. And so I kind of had a burden just to bring him into just to work with us, you know, just to be in that kind of sanctified work environment. So then, eventually, like a few days go by, and then Brother Pedro, whom I work with, we're sitting down. Me, Zach, is his name. Zach, Pedro, and I are sitting down eating lunch, and we start telling him about the Lord, and we start popping questions like, "Do you believe in God? And do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" And then, Pedro started telling him about the four Gospels, and he was just like, he was just sitting there like in awe with his mouth open. And after that, I invited him. I just had a burden. I was like, "Do you want to come to a Bible study that we have tonight?" And this is like the first he's ever really touched anything, like that he knows anything about the Lord. And so, yeah, I just saw like that something touched him, because, you know, he was just sitting there with his mouth open. And I was like, so I invited him to a Bible study at 6:30 at our house. I went and picked him up. And eventually, we go over John 7, I think, is what we're going over that week. And, you know, that was about, you know, God himself. As God, the gospel of life as God himself. So it was a very rich book. And so he was still sitting there, like, you know, like with his mouth open. You know, I was just like, "Wow, he's really receiving all this." And then, Brother Josh, who's also who I work with, just the two brothers that I work with. And then Josh asked him, "Do you want to receive your salvation? And you want to receive the Lord as your Savior?" And he's like, yeah, I do." And so they prayed, and then everyone there prayed. Everyone in the house just prayed for this brother, just right there. And then after that, me and Pedro baptized him in my bathtub. And so we gained another member that night. And I didn't know why, that I didn't really, you know, try to talk to him, you know, beforehand, you know, because me and him weren't that close, and I just didn't really have, like, a burning love for the Lord before that. Not before that time, but before, like, you know, like a few years ago. And then, you know, I met with him a few days after that, and just, you know, he's really still open. Amen. So, praise the Lord, you know.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay, so how about we all, this last Roman numeral is another prayer. So how about we pray this back to the Lord? Let's just turn our hearts and let's just open to the Lord concerning this point. We must all go to the Lord and say, "Lord, grant me So what should we do going forward? We should take care of anything that comes between us and our Lord. Amen. To maintain our abiding in Him.
Amen.
Right? No distance. Nothing between. We would stay closely connected to the vine. That this life wouldn't just trickle in, it would flood in. It wouldn't just flood in, it would overflow us.
Amen.
Right? We would just be those that just flow out what got flowed in.
Amen.
So let's read the focus. The proper and genuine preaching of the gospel is to impart Christ as life into people, bearing fruit by the overflow of life. I would encourage you to enjoy these hymns that we sang before the message. These are wonderful hymns to bring us into the burden of gospel preaching being the matter of bringing forth fruit by the overflow of life.
Amen.
Okay.
Can you repeat the two hymns?
Oh, yeah. So it's 910 and 925. The overflow of life.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.